as we are, Lord. And we just ask you, Father, that we just, first of all, just thank you, Lord, for the another opportunity to serve you, Lord. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that you'd have your way in this Sunday school lesson and speak to our hearts, Lord, and you be our portion this morning, Lord. We ask in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's try this again. All right. So we want to talk this morning about losing control so he can be in control. All right. Because sometimes we go into control freak mode, and we think that we have to have our hands on in everything. And what you're doing really is you're doing wrong. You end up messing up stuff is really what you're doing. But let's look at Sarah and Abraham's impatience. And it's interesting that Brother Branham was just talking about that in what we were just listening to. That God had given Abraham in Genesis chapter 5, Genesis 6, I meant 16. Genesis chapter 15, God had clearly given Abraham the promise that he was going to have a son. And he gave him everything. He even vindicated that to him. And then yet, he goes and tells his wife, and, time passes, and here comes Sarah. She gets impatient. She thinks that she's got to make it happen some way, somehow. And you know the mess that it got in. So just real quick, just to read the word, it says, now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and he had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And so she looked at Hagar. There's my solution right there. Instead of waiting for God.
Amen.
And that's what we do. Here's our solution. Anything that's convenient to go ahead and grab that's right in front of us, there, that's our solution right there. And that's our control freak, that we have in us, that we got to just make everything. And in reality, when you do that and you don't delegate things properly, you end up in a mess yourself,
right.
You see, and you end up also doing others a disservice. Because they don't learn how to be responsible themselves as well. You see, when you try to take control of everything yourself. Amen? So, and Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained from bearing. I pray. So she brings in the problem. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. So she brings in the solution, she thinks. My maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. So she's interpreting now what she thinks God was trying to tell her, tell him. And that's when we get in trouble, amen? When we try to bring in our own interpretation on things. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, in the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. So she conceives. There's the solution right there. That's exactly what God wanted. But then when she conceives, the Bible says her mistress was despised in her eyes. In other words, Hagar started looking at Sarai like, see, I got a child and you don't. I was able to conceive, and now you don't. And so that then becomes a problem in Sarah's eyes. And Sarah said unto Abraham, my wrong be upon thee. Now she's blaming it on Abraham. Her decision that she made, trying to control things, now she's putting the blame on Abraham. So you were the one who did it, but she was the one who said to do it. Abraham was just doing what some of us husbands, we do to just make sure that there's peace in the house. just for the sake of peace. So that she can realize, okay, she was in the wrong. That's what we do things sometimes. But then sometimes, you have to put your foot down. Amen? Because you are the head of the house. But there is a place where God told Abraham, hearken to your wife Sarah.
Right, right.
So Sarah wasn't always wrong in everything.
Right, right.
Amen. Sometimes us husbands, we think that we gotta, you do it my way or else. And that's not how it goes. So the Bible says that she is your helpmeet. In other words, she can give input as well. She has almost just as much wisdom as we do, husbands, sometimes. Because they can put their hands in multiple things where we are only created, us man, to just concentrate on one thing at a time. I'm certainly that way. I can't do multiple things at one time. I'm sitting there driving and my wife's talking to me, but I'm thinking about Sunday school lesson this morning. And she's like, you didn't hear what I said. Or I'll respond to what she said, you know, about 2 minutes later. Are you just now processing what I just said 2 minutes ago? And that's just how we, us men are. We can't tackle but one thing at a time. But see, that's the thing. God made us that way. And so we have to accept the fact that you are going to frustrate yourself trying to make everything happen all at one time, when in reality, you were not made that way.
Right.
All right? Us, we can't do that, because you're going to frustrate yourself. And then in the fact that you're frustrating yourself, you're going to end up frustrating others around you.
Sure.
Because they see you frustrated.
Right.
And they see you upset.
Yeah.
All right? Ooh, it's getting down a little, down to the home level this morning, huh? But that's good. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. So that's what it caused, her wanting to take control of the situation. That's what it ended up causing. It caused a stress in that relationship, where she had to end up being hard on Hagar, and end up sending her away. And many times it happens like that to us, when you think you have control of everything. But in reality, in your control freak mode that you're in, and I know that sounds a little bit harsh, but that's what we are sometimes. We're control freaks. And we think that if it's not done our way, then it can't be done. It's my way or the highway. And that's not how it works. That's not how it works. Amen. So I like this right here, because if you think about it this way, as I have written here, it says, the more you fear about losing control, the more you want to be in control. And the more you are in control, the more you fear about losing control. So it's a never-ending cycle. And you see, people who have that mentality about wanting to control everything and about wanting to just take control, it's my way or no way, they don't know that they're that way. Just like the gossiper doesn't know that he's a gossiper. Or that the liar doesn't know that he or she is a liar. They think it's just okay. That's just the way I roll. But in reality, you're hurting others around you with your control freak trying to take control of everything. You see? It's a dangerous cycle that you're going around and around. Amen. Because what you think you're controlling is actually controlling you. What you think you're controlling is actually controlling you. And you don't know it. Right? But other people around you, they see it. And because you're such a control freak, they might not say anything to you out of fear. But it's hurting you in the long run. It's hurting you in the long run. Look what Brother Branham says here in Taking Sides with Jesus. And I believe that all these things has a time of lingering, waiting. But it's waiting for a time for the scripture to be fulfilled. Till everything gets right. Everything in order. Waiting. Many times we get impatient like a child. We get great anticipations and many times jump way ahead. And that just hinders the work. That just hinders the work. Until the work gets caught up. See, we must just move reverently. Have a purpose and heart that God if he would desire to use us in such and such, but wait till he makes the opening. Because he has to go ahead of us. Amen. We want Jesus Christ to lead us. Amen. We don't want to lead him. Amen. He knows the way. He is the head. We are the body. And the body follows wherever the head goes. Amen. So he knows the best for us. And so, you know, us as parents, I've been there. We try to take control of our children in such a way when we think that monitoring everything they do and looking at every single Instagram post they have or who are they talking to, and we think that we are in control. And in reality, we're hurting them. In reality, they end up rebelling. And then you're wondering, what just happened? You know, what just happened? They don't want to serve the Lord. It's because of your control actions that probably just rubbed them the wrong way. And really what teenagers are asking for is they want for you to have confidence in them. Now, I know that there's things, you know, that you have to definitely put your foot down. Your teen comes to the house with weed or you know, or crack in a bag or something like that, you know. You got to put your foot down on something. You can't just say, well, I'll let them sort it out, you know. No, you ain't going to have crack in my house. You ain't going to have crack pipes in my house. You ain't going to have, no, you see. And if you're going to, the door is right there, right? Because this is a home dedicated to the Lord. But sometimes we think, you know, that, you know, we're looking in every drawer in their room and we're looking in everything, you know. Give them some leeway. Because in reality, that's what ends up making them your friend in the long run. They want to be your friend, and but they can only be your friend and have confidence in you if you have some confidence in them. Right? It works both ways. And I know some of us, we've learned that the hard way. I have too. But that is how it works. Because, you know, as a teenager, they're becoming adults. And what is you as an adult, what do you want? You want people to have confidence in you. You want people to trust you. And not people to be over you, controlling you and making sure that rubs you the wrong way, doesn't it? You see? So it does the same thing with a teenager. So we have to be careful with that. Amen? In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 through 8, I'm not going to read it all, but the Bible says, to everything there is a season. Right? To everything there is a season. There is a time to every purpose under heaven. Amen? A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Brother Wade knows that very clearly. You know, where he does the garden, there's a time to plant. But when you plant something, you can't rush it. There is no way for you to rush it. I mean, you can maybe put some nitrogen or some vitamins to the soil, but you have to let nature take its course. And then you will be able to grab and get what you sowed. You will reap what you sow when you let it come out. You see? When you have patience. Amen. And it's going to produce what it says it's going to produce. Amen. All right? So you don't always have to have the power. You don't always have the power to control. But you always have the power to surrender. All right? Listen to that. You don't have the power to control, but you always have the power to surrender. Because surrendering is an act of faith. Right? Surrendering is an act of faith, as I have written up there. It's having faith in what God said in his word, amen, that he's going to take care of what he promised he would. So if Sarah would have done that, amen, when Abraham received the promise and Abraham went to Sarah and said, listen, God told me this, that, she should have said, like Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word. And I think things would have been different for Sarah and her family, right? But we know that there had to be an Ishmael to come forth and all that. So God fulfills his purpose in many different ways. But if we would just do that, amen, be it unto me according to thy word, Lord, amen. That is an act of faith. Mary, at the age that she was in, 15, 16 years old, amen, very inexperienced in her life. She just wanted to be married and have a husband just like everybody else. She wanted to, you know, have a nice donkey parked in the front, in the front, you know, of the house, you know, not something, you know, too extravagant, you know, but, you know, a nice donkey, you know, parked right there, maybe a little chariot. She was thinking about all these things. And then the angel comes to her and tells her, you're going to have a child, and it's not going to be by Joseph. But God shall overshadow you. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And all she could say was, Lord, be it unto me according to what you're saying. Didn't have to understand it all. Amen. Sometimes we don't have to understand it all. And just release and let God have his way. Amen. Praise God. Amen. See, our desire to control, what is it rooted in? It's rooted in the lack of faith. Our desire to control is rooted in lack of faith. Our desire to control people is rooted in the lack of faith in those people. But they're supposed to be children of God just like you, filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't you think that God can work through them just as he works through you? Don't you think that God can steer them? Amen. If God's in control of the whole thing, of the whole matter, why can't God work with other people? But you see, you have to put your thing in it. And then that's when the things get messed up. And that's when people, why are people treating me this way? Why are people looking at me that way? It's because you trying to put your own thing into it. You see? And so that is because it's a lack of faith. It's a lack of faith that God's program isn't complete unless I do something about it. And that's God doesn't like that we do that. Amen. If it's going to be, it's up to me. That's what you say. I've got to be strong. I got to make it happen. I got to manipulate it. And it doesn't work that way. Amen. I hope those that still don't have children, I hope you listen and take note. Amen. Yeah. It doesn't work. At the beginning, see, when you're with your first child, you have everything. You know, my mom with me, I was her first son. I was her first child. And she would... anything that I picked up from the floor, she would just, she wash it, and wash my mouth, and she would boil everything because she was a mother for the first time, and she thought that's what, but in reality, what she was doing, she was actually doing me more harm. She didn't know that at the time, and I say this, she'll tell you this, because kids need germs. Kids need bacteria. Kids need to get dirty. Kids need the floor and the dirt and all that. But then when the second one came, my sister Sandra, you know, she's back there. She was a little bit more loose after that. And then with my third sister, Deanna, she was really loose then. She didn't care, and they turned out just fine. In reality, you know, And when I was younger, I was a little bit more sick. You know, I had asthma issues and things like that. And she'll tell you, she said, I just wonder if all that stuff that I tried to do, thinking that I was doing something good, it really was harming you. And so again, another lesson for those who are not parents yet. Let your kids play with dirt. Let them get dirty. Let them learn lessons. Amen. Let them learn lessons. And I say the same thing. Amen. Let people make mistakes sometimes. so that they can learn, okay, I won't do that again. Amen. Why? God wants to give us keys, right? When in adoption, he wants to give us the keys. Praise the Lord. But sometimes we think, no, we have to hold the keys the whole time. And that person is mature enough to handle that situation, to handle that project that you give them. You see? To handle that. They can do it. Just pray for them and let them loose. Because I promise you, amen, when you let people loose, their creativity sparks open. Amen. And they'll come and do things, amen, that you don't think that is in them. And it opens up, amen. I've seen it, amen, in the workplace. I've seen it, you know, with my children. I've seen it, amen. Let them, something that they're interested in. And then it opens up, amen, and it just sparks creativity like nothing. You're like, wow, this came out better than what I thought it was. Why? Because you surrendered. You surrendered and you took off your control freak robe and you let them be. Amen. And you know what? And you'll be more tranquil that way. You'll have more peace in your heart. And you'll have more peace and peace of mind. And you'll have more peace with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, see, that goes against completely, amen, trying to have control of everything. It goes completely what Jesus said here in Matthew 16. He says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself." In other words, forget your ideas and take up his cross and follow me. Amen. "For whosoever will save his life, amen, shall lose it." All right? "And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Amen. So I want to be a loser this morning so that I can win him. Amen. I want to be a loser. No, I don't want to be a loser. I do in this case. I want to lose myself, my control freak robe. Amen. So that he can take control. So that I can find life and I can find peace. Amen. And in the projects and the things that I'm doing. Amen. To fully follow Jesus is to surrender control. Amen. Because why? He surrendered control on the cross. Yes, he did. Totally in the Father's hand. Right. Hanging on a cross. Naked and in the way that he was. Totally his body totally messed up. Amen. Because he surrendered to him. Amen. So there's either 100% surrender or no surrender at all. There's no partial surrender. There's no midway surrender. You either 100% surrender or not surrender at all. Amen. Surrendering control is not a one-time thing. It's a continual process. It's a continual process. Amen. First Peter says, "Humble yourselves therefore unto the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him." But what we'd like to put there is himself or ourself. Casting all the care upon ourself. Because I care for myself. And that's not how it works. You're hurting yourself. Don't hurt yourself. Especially those of you who are getting older. You don't need more burdens. Your body's already wearing down. Don't need more burdens. Amen. The more I see it, you know, my kids and you know, they're going to do what they want to do in reality. Right? I can't control every single aspect. I can't password lock and everything in the house. I can't. I'll do my best to do so. Amen. If there's things that come in the house that are not supposed to be there, I'll address them. But I can't control every single thing they view. They're going to be exposed to things in this life that eventually they're going to be exposed of anyways. So might as well, you know, just, okay, what do you think about that? So you're listening to hip-hop music. What do you think about that? What do you think about that song? And I'll let God take care of them. Because when he does it, it's complete. Right? If they do it just because I tell them to, then eventually they'll come back around to it again and do it again because it's not out of them But when we let God take control, amen. All right, last verse here. Wherefore, seeing we also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience, amen, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, amen, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, amen, looking unto him to take control of the situation. Amen. God bless you all. Appreciate your patience.
God bless you.
Amen. And your attention.